On up, buddy. We're honored to have you here.
Thank you so much. From the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Sorry we don't have one of them things we used to.
That's all right.
Sounded like you was in the bottom of a tin can.
Praise the Lord. Your pastor just spoke prophetically in many ways. I know that. But he said it twice there, and he said, pull in, receive. Remember him saying that here just two or three times in the last 30 or 40 seconds? That was prophetic. And I received that, and so do you. Praise the Lord. Father, this is your time, it's our time, and may it be a time of redemption, a time of completion, and Lord, a time of destiny. And we do yield to that, for it's far above the way we think, or maybe feel at this moment. And we surrender it all to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and do what the Father is doing, what the Son is doing, what our Savior is doing. Do it in us, right here on earth, like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Surely is my privilege and honor to be here this morning, and my joy. I'm enjoying this. I've enjoyed the praise and the worship, the fellowship, the communion. I've enjoyed it all. This is a treat. Thank you so much. You got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful church. I couldn't go on enough about that. And you're just a wonderful part of the body of Christ. I mean that with all my heart. And I know a lot of the body of Christ. And you folks are part of the best. And I mean that with all my heart. I couldn't boast or brag enough about you. I really couldn't. Praise God. And today, he's just going to do what he does. You can't get him to do anything else. You know, you can't plead, beg, borrow. You can't murmur, complain enough to get him to do something he doesn't do.
Amen.
And so knowing that, why wouldn't I do what he does?
Amen.
It's just going to be hard on me if I don't, right?
Right.
And I don't like hard stuff. I've had some. Some of it was the will of God, and some of it was his mercy and grace that helped me to get to the will of God. Praise the Lord. Today's message is Kingdom CPR. Now, what was it you said to us again there right near the end before you allowed me to come up, Mark? We will receive in. We will receive in. And Kingdom CPR, if you're out of life, you need some life. If you don't have what it takes for the next step, you got to have it. You know, if somebody were to go down in your presence and you can blow in their mouth and pump on their chest to help get them a little bit further until they can breathe, that's what's got to be done. Amen?
Yeah.
And there's a kingdom CPR where the Lord literally will blow into you and you must receive it until it can function. Amen? Isn't he good? We've had some of that this morning. That's what praise and worship is. It's a form of CPR. Praise God. That's what a prophetic word is. It's a form of CPR. And you can't live without it. You've got it to give, but you can't live without more of it. What a good God. We're going to begin talking about preaching this morning. Praise the Lord. We're going to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. What a good God. Praise the Lord. Good to see you again, brother. Mighty, mighty God. Doesn't preaching sound like fun?
Yeah, it is fun.
Praise the Lord. And it ought to be fun, and it ought to be life-giving. You know what preaching is? Preaching is CPR. That's what it is. Kingdom preaching is CPR. Carnal preaching, I don't know what you call that other than death, a slow death, an awful, awful death. But kingdom preaching is CPR. Praise the Lord. Mark 16 and 15. And he said unto them, his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then there's some wonderful things that he told us to do. And he did commission us to do these things. Okay? Go down to verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So everything between 15 and 20 there, as they went and preached, those kinds of things happened. Okay, and we've been pretty schooled on those kinds of things. Maybe some ahead of others, but we've been schooled on those kinds of things. And so we don't have to go there this morning. Thank God that He is who He is. Yeah. Amen. But He said, you go preach, and I'll work with you, and I'll confirm what I told you to say. Okay? Praise the Lord. And that's a good thing, because He's got a lot to say. You know, everything He ever said, He always did. And everything He said He would do, He will do. Not one thing will go unsaid. So anytime you're saying what He's saying, sooner or later it's going to be done. Now, we'd like it all to be done in a nice, neat little package on the very day that we said it, in a way that we could imagine it, but it does not work that way. It works His way, not my way or your way, but His way. He will do it, but not necessarily my way and not necessarily your way, but He will do it. So hang on to whatever way it comes. Amen? What a mighty God. So Jesus says to His believers, you're going to go preach. Right? Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to have a pulpit or a public ministry like this would be here this morning, okay? But it does mean that we're all going to go say what He says wherever we are, and that makes us preachers, because the word preach there is the word caruso, and it means to proclaim or declare or to be the herald that announces the message of the King. So when we share the good news of our King, Jesus Christ, we are the preacher. And you've been schooled, as I have, to know that that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whenever the opportunity and commission arises. At home, at work, in the workplace, in the play place, wherever, not just on Sundays. We spend way too little time in the church for it to complete that project. That's a school time, a preparation time, a launch time, amen? That's what we're here for. Get on the diving board and leap into another day, amen? Praise the Lord. So to preach, the word preach, which is a verb, is caruso. And I'm not going to get really, really big on the Greek here this morning. But He chose that word preach for a reason, out of the Greek, and it is caruso, the herald, the proclaimer of the news of the King. Now, that word also had an understanding in that time that if you was a caruso or a preacher, then that meant that you were a carux, which meant you were sent to preach. In other words, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a caruso, would be a carux, a messenger chosen by the King. In other words, I can't just decide I'm going to go do God's business. God chooses me and commissions me to go do part of His business. He doesn't commission me to do all of it. He doesn't commission you to do all of it. But He does commission each of us to go actively preach it, declare it, announce it, do it. Okay? So if I'm a preacher and if you're a preacher, and we are, then that means we are a carux or a chosen vessel to go do that by the King. If I show up with His word, you trust that He sent me with it. There's the carux and the caruso, amen? You don't want me just pulling something out of my hat this morning that's convenient, right? You expect more out of God and me than that, right? And I would expect more out of you than that. We understand this principle. A preacher is commissioned to go deliver the message of the king. Praise God. Now, for it to have CPR ability, that's what's got to happen. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, I know that the praise and worship team were led by the king this morning in delivering some praise and some worship because I received the CPR from it. And even as I'm saying it right now, I can feel the Lord on me in confirmation of that. Okay? So I'm so appreciative of that. I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm getting pretty used to being treated like royalty. The Holy Spirit shows up and blesses the people of God. God does come inhabit the praises of His people. He's never failed. And I've been a Christian for over 30 years. And a student and a learner of praise and worship and trying to be a student who learns and receives and who is able to go perform some sort of function with Him. He's never failed in all those years. Never, never, ever. Isn't He good? So the Kurux is the official spokesman of the king. Praise God. Now, the reason I'm making such a point out of this is because when the Holy Spirit chose this word, this Greek word, it came with this picture and this image so that they knew what was being said. Okay? And it goes something like this. When the Kurux receives a commission from the king to go preach or deliver the word, we have this requirement that we're going to announce it with a clear, unquestionable voice. It's going to declare His feelings, His affections, His motions, His mind, His instructions, who He is, what He desires, and how He's going to go about it. Now, I know that's a lot, and we never cover all that in any message, but that's what He's doing. So in other words, today this should be about Him, His word, His heart, His mind, His will, His emotions, His feelings, so it would touch us with life. Amen. We want His life today, or we might as well go do something else. I don't have anything of value enough in my own for you. But He does. Isn't He a good God? So it went something like this. The king summoned the Kurux, who would go preach the word. Okay, so he summoned him. You ever been out mowing your grass or driving down the road and all of a sudden the Lord starts stirring something in you about His word? That ever happened to you? Okay, you're being summoned by the king with a commission about a word there. When that happened, the Kurux came to the king and came to his presence and came to his throne room and said, "You called?" So he shows up to the king. And then the Kurux is ready to receive the revelation of what the king's talking about. So on any given time, Mark, Donna, any of you may hear something from the Lord. That's when it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to show up to the throne room, through the throne of grace, and say, "Here I am to respond to this message that you're giving me." And then we're very, very careful to make sure we know exactly what it is that He's saying. Okay? Now, He's the only one that can do that. We can't. He can. We can't. There's no preacher on the face of this earth can do this by themselves. They might preach a very good message. They might entertain a lot of people. They might do a lot of stuff, but they cannot impart what the king's got to the people on their own. They cannot do that. So after the king is finished talking to them about the word or the message, then it's their responsibility at that point in time to say, "Okay, king, I got the message. I got the instruction." Pardon me? "This is what you want to do. Now, what's your mind? What's your heart? what's your will? How do you feel about this? Because I do not want to go with your word imparting my feelings, my affections, my emotions, my will, my vision, my purpose, my destiny. That'll all fall short. I want all of that from you to go with your word to reach the people so that when I'm done, they have heard from you, had every opportunity to receive from you, and it's all about you. I'm just a preacher, a Caruso. That's all I am. Now, without that, I could get his word and show up to you with my emotions, my feelings, my mind, my opinion, my will, my vision, my purpose, my destiny. And that's not good. Even though he's given me a lot of that, even though he's given you a lot of that, that's still not good. The king, his word, his CPR ability. That's what we want. It doesn't take a really skilled preacher. It just takes a Kurex who's willing to go to the king and say, "Hey, Lord, you've summoned me about this. Now, what's your mind? What's your heart? What's your will? What's your intent? What are you dispersing here today? I have no ability to do that, but you do." And keep in mind, every word that he speaks never returns void.
Pardon me. Thank you.
I want there to be life in what I'm doing with my God. I don't want to be a hypocrite and do stuff that there's no life in. That's a hypocrite, okay? Might be good stuff, might be valuable stuff, might even get some awards. But if there's no life in it, that's not good. That means I'm not receiving in, which again was the prophetic word, I'm not receiving in so that it can live out, okay? I could go... The Lord could talk to me about his Bible, and he does through his word. And if I don't go to his throne room and talk to him about what he's saying there from his heart, I'll have the word, but I won't have his heart. That's called religion. There's a lot of people who know a lot about the word, and thank God they do. But they need CPR. I need CPR. Okay? I need the life of the word. That's what I need. That'll set me free. That'll deliver me. That'll heal me. That'll give me the ability to give somebody else some CPR. Without that, I could be an interesting fellow. I could be a boring fellow. And I probably would be interesting to some and boring to some others. But that doesn't matter. If there's not a CPR ability of God, then something's wrong. Okay? Praise the Lord. So we get before the Lord and we start asking questions. Lord, what's your mind? What's your heart? What's your motive? Because this is all about you and it's not all about me. And it really does take a work of God for that to happen. Now, knowing this, I don't want my motive represented to you here today. My motive is probably going to have to go through the fire and be transformed into the motive of God. Mine will fall short. The very best I can think is going to fall short. The best ability that I would have to love you here today is going to fall short. But his will go beyond that and reach you right where you are. So it's important that when I preach and when you preach, we don't represent ourselves. We represent the King who sent us. Then there'll be CPR ability of God, and we will enjoy it all the way to being crucified, all the way to being persecuted. We will enjoy it. You want to know why a lot of preachers quit preaching? Because they're not taking the word back to the King and saying, your heart, your mind, your will, your purpose, your vision, your destiny. They're not doing that. They're taking his word, adapting it to who they are, going out and representing part of him, part of them, and there's no life in it. And so then when the persecution comes, it's pretty easy to pack it up and say, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I quit. And then blame it on whoever. Okay? We don't want that to happen to us. Amen? May it never, never, ever happen to us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Lord is so sure of His process that when He speaks to you, He can impart life to you so that when you go speak for Him, you can impart life so that you, the speaker, and the hearer can enjoy abundant life. He is so confident of this that He has appointed us kerouxes, or ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So what He did for us and in us, He has given that to us to go release. Okay, that's kingdom CPR. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, will the word return void? So when you preach reconciliation, what will happen? There'll be reconciliation CPR that will be available for somebody to receive, and they'll either receive it or they'll die. Right? They'll either receive it or they'll die. Now, I received reconciliation unto salvation, eternal life, May 4th, 1980. If I hadn't received it then, I might have died the next day, or I may have been dead by now, or maybe I would live till I would be 100, but I might die without Christ. And I would die and go to hell. Okay? But I have received reconciliation many, 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 many times since that day. Okay? It's a big word, isn't it? And He entrusted it to you and I. And it's getting bigger all the time, right? Praise the Lord. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So the end result of this is God's got so much confidence in Himself, the King, that He appointed you an ambassador, Kruex, to go and preach His good news, His words of reconciliation, wherever they fit. That's your job and my job. See, we now have inherited the Father's business, the King's business. And He has to bring abundant life here on this earth. It's His promise. So He has to have CPR agents. There's death of all kinds. And the Lord is speaking life wherever there's death. And He needs a CPR agent. Yes, the Holy Spirit's going to do more of the work than we are, but it's not all His job. We are really, really and truly registered, accountable ambassadors, sent by the King with His words of His representation. I just go somewhere with some word. You just go somewhere with some word. All of us all together have to go everywhere with all the word that He would give us. Isn't He good? Doesn't He make this easy for us? Makes it so easy. We had prophetic word come from the praise and the worship this morning that was God sending out CPR. We've already heard it in a short period of time that pastor spoke. We heard it in prayer over communion. God was sending out CPR. And so whoever would receive it would receive it, and they'll walk away with life. Those that don't understand this process sometimes walk away without life. And that's what we're all here together for, to challenge and help each other understand more of the process. Okay? I need your help to get in on more of God. And you need my help to get in on more of God. Isn't He good? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, with that being said, let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. And I know these are some of your favorite scriptures. I've known them for years and years, and so have you. Praise the Lord. Unless you've just been saved recently, you already know this. And if you have been saved recently, that's okay. It's just time to learn. And even though I've learned this a long time ago, now I'm learning more and more and more and more about it.
Right.
How it fits, how it works. I used to sing, "In Him we live and move and have our being," and now I'm finding out a little bit more about how I live and move and have my being in Him. And it does work better in Him. Praise the Lord. Mighty God. You're at 2 Timothy 3:16. Let me remind you of Genesis 2:7. "And Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul," or a living nephesh. So in other words, God made you, he breathed into you, and he put a life into you, and that's the way you live. That's necessary. Okay? Now that's a picture in the natural, which is a revelation of the spiritual. So God is continuing to make or remake or transform you, breathe life into you so you can live. Okay? I'm saved. That's done. I'm saved, born again. I'm going to heaven. That's done. But I got a lot of living to do between now and tomorrow and next month and next year, next decade, or the next 50 years if he tarries that long, or the next moment if that's all there is. Okay? But I'm depending on my life source. Eternity is, salvation's taken care of, but there's still some living to do. Amen? Might as well enjoy it, hadn't we? We're going to have the breath of life to enjoy it. Because that's the way he started us. He started us by breathing into us all the way back to Adam, and he's going to finish it by breathing into you. Praise the Lord. Try living without him. It's tough. I'm not used to using these things, so I know I'm in and out of it, but I have a big mouth, so we can probably get by. 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture, all word, whether it be written or whether it be published or whether it come from the mouth, is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." That's all very, very important, but how you get it is by inspiration of God. Now, isn't he good? Inspiration is another word for kingdom CPR. It's God divinely giving you respiration. That's what inspiration is. Say it again, Pastor. Receive in. I forget how you said that, how God said it.
Pull in.
Pull in. Yes. That's respiration. And if you're out of breath and somebody breathes into you, that's forced respiration. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, sooner or later, you got to breathe on your own.
Now,
God will come up to you and give you some forced respiration, but you got to take it in to begin to walk in it and enjoy it. Otherwise, your lungs are just going to feel like they're going to explode. They really will. God be trying to give you life, and you be thinking he's trying to kill you. Wow. You ever seen anything like that? I have. I've seen people moving in God's lives, and you're just so grateful. You say, "My God, Lord, this is awesome." And they're going, "Oh, God, it's killing me. It's killing me. I can't stand any more of it. It's killing me." You say, "What? Look at what he's done. Look at what he's done. It's not killing you. It's giving you life." But they think it's killing them. Why? Because he keeps blowing in life, and they can't understand, and so they feel like it's killing them. Inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Divinely breathed in. Ability of God. It's like a virus. You know what a virus is? If you get it in your body, it'll just spread. And sometimes you got to get an antibiotic to get rid of it. Okay? But the point is, when God breathes into you, it's like a virus. It'll spread. So when God breathes into the Kurukhs to go preach, that's his breath. And wherever he releases it, it's like a virus. And you can't stop it. You can't stop it. That's why you don't have to worry about how good a preacher you are. You don't have to worry about the crowd. If you'll just get the inspired breath of God, wherever you release it, it can't be stopped. So one will get it and take it to 10. One will get it and take it to 10. You don't have to be such a good preacher. You're releasing the inspiration, the breath, the life of God, and somebody out there is saying, I'm receiving it. And when they do, look out. Look out. Now you got a warrior on your hands. Look out. Now you got somebody who's got a kingdom virus on their hands. Look out. It'll work in the public place. It'll work in the church. It'll work at home. It'll work where it's easy. It'll work where it's hard. You know, I didn't know it then, but I got infected May 4th, 1980. I got infected. I got infected by the kingdom of God. And the world can't kill it. The only thing you can do is choose to stop it. You can say, God, leave me alone. Well, it's miserable. Oh, God, that's miserable living. Or you can keep saying, I need more CPR, more CPR, more. I don't understand it. I don't care if I ever understand it beforehand. His thoughts are above our thoughts. In other words, you're not going to understand the next CPR session. He'll bring it. He'll give it. And then when he's done, you'll go, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. I thought it was killing me. It was saving me. I thought I was going to die. I just got resurrected. Isn't he a good God? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, inspiration of the divine supreme King, the Theos. Okay? So this word inspiration is theopneustos. Okay? That's the respiration of Theos. That's the respiration of God. That word inspiration is the respiration of God. And there's a word pneuma in there, which is where we get our word pneumatic. Anybody that works around equipment or has worked out there somewhere, you know what the word pneumatic means. It's a power source that caused something to happen, whether it be electricity or air or steam or something. It's a power source that causes something to go in action. Well, when God breathes, it has a pneumatic kingdom force and it'll cause something to go into action in you. It'll cause you to repent. It'll cause you to believe. It'll even cause you to preach. It'll cause you to do what he does. It'll cause you to yield a change. It will cause an action that creates a chain reaction. It will cause a start that will lead to a finish result or product. It really will. You may not know how or when, but it will be. It won't return void. Isn't he good? It's something like this. Every time God speaks, now think about this. Everything that we see and know and all of creation, we even sang about that this morning. All of creation was brought forth by His Word, His life released, the ability of God to breathe life into something that did not exist. Everything. He did it that way.
Now, what's in the balloon?
Air. And where did it come from? Came from my lungs. So my lungs, my perspiration, is that my respiration is in this balloon, isn't it? And right now, what it is it's forming a balloon that we could use for a party, or we could use it for a lot of things. But it is in there. It does exist. And it made this balloon take a shape. If it was the shape of a cat, it would look like a cat. If it was the shape of a bat, it would look like a bat, you know, a baseball bat. If it was the shape of whatever it is, it would take that shape. So when God blows His respiration into a vessel, what kind of shape will the vessel take? Whatever He's made it to be. So the only way you can be what He's called you to be is to let Him to blow His respiration into you, and you will become what you are to be. You didn't make the vessel. You didn't provide the respiration. You can't make it do what it's supposed to do. All you can do is receive the respiration, the inspiration of God. That's all you can do. No wonder there's life in it. Remember when He made man? He made them. He breathed life into them so they could be what they were to be. He's never changed that. God has never changed. You want to be what you're supposed to be? Let Him breathe into you. That's the only way you can get there. That's it. No other way. That's why the preacher is so important. That's why you need the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the praise and worship leader, whoever it is. That's why you need them to continually be releasing the Word of God, the respiration of God, the inspiration of God, because it's the only way you can be who you are. And He will blow in you every time and make you take the shape or transform you from glory to glory as He's promised. You know, that doesn't interest some Christians. Being changed from glory to glory doesn't interest them. All they want is their stuff. And they want to be happy with their stuff. They don't want any trouble with their stuff. Okay? Well, that doesn't exist. More stuff, more stuff. Right? And there's nothing wrong with stuff. We all got some. We all need some stuff to live, right? So we're not giving up on stuff, but we want something that is superior to stuff. And it's called abundant life, eternal life. We want a destiny that's bigger than our career. We want a final outcome that's bigger than anything we can accomplish here on earth. And the only way we can get there is with the respiration of God. And we need it every day. CPR. Every day we need it. We got to have it. That's why the body of Christ is depending on one another. We're all preachers. We're all ambassadors. We all have our opportunity to go before the King and get His special word, His special mind, heart, will, motive, His attitude, not my attitude, His attitude. And release it, and somewhere a vessel will be blown up with the life of God, and look out, world. Look out. Till that happens, nothing can happen. We can become a bunch of trained knuckleheads. We can become a bunch of religious graves. Sepulcher. What's the word? Is it sepulcher? That's all we could become. That's it. But with the life of God, look out. We're going to be all He is in us. And you can't describe that. You can't think big enough. Your ear's not heard, and your eye's not seen how great that is. Isn't He good? This is why I get excited about church. It's why I get excited about Sunday morning, Wednesday, Tuesday. And I got to tell you, it's about 5 or 6 days a week for me. And I know it is for anybody probably who's trying to serve God. You give Him a little, you get a little. You give Him a lot, you get a lot. It's just the way it is. You don't earn it. Take it in. Take it in. You know, I've got revelation from God when the preacher wasn't preaching very good. Let me just give you a little tip here. Every Kerux or every ambassador is not going to spend time in the throne room coming to you with the heart and the attitude of God. Sometimes their attitude is so pitiful that if God didn't have mercy and grace, they would fall dead in the platform. But His ability for grace for them and grace for the hearer, he will automatically come along and blow life into you because the Holy Spirit has the ability to do that. So if the preacher's not right, but the word is right, we'll bypass the preacher and go from vessel to vessel. Isn't God good? You're not dependent on a great preacher. You're dependent on a great king. But that doesn't make an excuse for you and I, because we need the life of delivering the word. We got to have it for us, and we got to deliver it. That's our lifeline. Not our paychecks, not our houses, not our cars, not our life of leisure. That's not our lifeline. Our lifeline is
taking it in,
letting it out. That's our lifeline. That's what we're born into. It's called faith. And I'm going to hurry up here and get right to the end. Praise the Lord. Mark, do you mind if I blow your shofar here a second?
I can't blow it as good as Mark. Now you heard a noise that was caused by what?
My breath. So that horn has a purpose, and it needs some respiration or some life to go through it before the horn can fulfill its purpose, right? We are horns, we are balloons, we are vessels to receive the breath, the respiration of God, so that we can take the shape and the form that we are, so that we can release it. That's how God gets things done. Now think about this. He doesn't do it any other way. He doesn't train you with skill so you can take your skill and go build something. Now in the natural, you can do that, but it won't last. It won't go into eternity. It won't make it. The way God does it is, He breathes it into you, you let it take its shape and its form, and you release it. It's eternal. It lasts forever and ever and ever. This is what our kids need from moms and dads. This is what moms and dads need from their moms and dads. This is what we need from one another. If it's not working in my life, it's not real to me. I might pass the test, but I won't enjoy the process. If it's not working in my home, it's not real to me. If I don't believe in respiration of God in my home, it's not real to me. If I don't believe in respiration in the body of Christ, it's not real to me. If I don't believe in respiration where I work, it's not real to me. If I don't believe in this process, it's not real to me. But if I believe in it, you know what I'm going to get? Everywhere I turn around, respiration. I can't tell you when I went to a praise and worship time at church that I didn't get respiration. I can't tell you. It's always there if you'll take it in. And if you won't take it in, you'll feel like you're going to explode. And when you feel like you're going to explode, you'll dump it on somebody. What are you going to do with it? It's the pastor's fault. It's the praise and worship leader's fault. Went too long today. It's somebody's fault. That's residue of not receiving your CPR and letting it out. Okay, there's all kinds of little things that tells on me and tells on you. We just have to be honest enough to say, Lord, this is the fact. I need some more CPR. I don't care how I get it. I don't care where it comes from. I got to have it. Now, Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. For the word of Theos, which was part of that word inspiration, the word of Theos is alive. The word of the king is alive. So this is why the king chooses a kurex or an ambassador to go with his word, because it's alive. And it's quick and it's powerful and it performs. And that's the way he does things. Isn't he good? So the word of God has inspiration power because it's alive. That's why there's kingdom CPR. The word is alive. Isn't he good? Now, Romans 10 and 17, I know you know all of this, and I know all of this. I just want to walk in it. That's all I want. I don't care what it looks like as long as it looks like him. Doesn't matter. As long as it looks like him, it doesn't matter. So all of God's Word has respiration power. It's alive. And the Word of God is alive. We see that. Now Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what is faith? Faith is the respiration of God. My air is in the balloon. When God speaks to you and His Word has respiration, it's alive, what He put into you is called faith. That's why faith comes by hearing the Word of God, the respiration of God. So He puts something into the balloon or something into the vessel, it's called faith. It's not you. One night I thought, Lord, if you don't touch me and show me what to do, I may have a stroke. My body may not make it through this night. What are you saying to me? What are you doing? What is your word for me? I know it's all good. I know that. But I don't know if my body can make it through this night. What is your word for me? And this is what he said. I'm crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But I will live by the faith of the Son of God. You know what he was saying? I got life for you. I got CPR for you. You receive it and you'll be all right. So he breathed into me that night. He put some life into me. I knew it was okay. The battle was over. Nothing changed. Nothing went away at 3 o'clock in the morning. But he breathed life into me. What did he do? He breathed life into me. And the faith, knowing that it's okay, I'm crucified in Christ, but I'll live. But I will live by the faith of the Son of God. All right, that's good enough. That's the way it works. Okay? Well, what I didn't know was he put something in me, just like air is in this balloon. He put something in me, and then days after that, and he still is, he releases it. It's called faith. This is how we live. Receive in. Let it go. This is how we live in the kingdom. That's the way he started it. That's the way he's going to finish it. That's why your faith comes by hearing the theos, or the inspired inspiration ability of God. The respiration of God. It's not a theory. It is a function of God. It's not a story. It is. He's not going to change it for you. He's going to change you for him. He is not changing. God is not changing. Who's changing? Me. How do I change? Breath to breath. Breath to breath. Word to word. I'm crucified in Christ. I'm yielding to him. Breathing in. But I will live by the faith of the Son of God. That's what I'll use to live by, the faith of the Son of God. Now let's go to Hebrews 11 and 1, and I'm about to quit here. Now I'm sharing with you in about, I don't know here, maybe about 30 minutes or so, and it's taken me over 30-something years, maybe, to get a hold of something. Maybe you can get it in a week or two. Praise the Lord, I'm glad you can. I'm not all that quick of a learner. But I have a great teacher and a great king who's determined to make me just like him. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith, and now what's faith again? Faith is the respiration of God. It's the theos. It's the word of the theos. It's the respiration, the inspiration of God. Now faith is the substance that he blows into the balloon. That's what it is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is this substance for? It's for something I don't have yet. or something I've already got and I have it with me, but it's for something I don't have yet. So when God gives you some CPR, He's blowing some respiration into you, some substance into you that you'll release down the road that will do what? What does that verse tell us? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this respiration that He blows into you, you release it and it goes out and it develops heaven on earth. It goes to the very source where it came from and it develops it. Okay? So God shows up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's a shame it's not comprehended by us more than it is, but it's a fact. Okay? He never takes a moment off from your life. And He's always got CPR going on. If you'll pay attention, you get in a circumstance. There's no preacher around. No preacher around. Maybe just a policeman. Maybe you'd rather be anywhere. Maybe it's a problem at work. Maybe something just came across the news that would make you want to cry. Who knows? Maybe it's a phone call that you say, oh God, not that. But you can bet that God is there and God will speak a word of life into you. And even if you can't hear the word itself, you'll know that's what He does. And you say, God, I need some life. I need some life. I know You're in this thing. I need some life. I know You're here. I know You've not left me. I know You've not forsaken me. I know You are here.
Yeah.
So what you'll do is you'll take it in, just like the prophetic word was that came to us, and you choose to take it in, and then you'll begin to hear as the ambassador, the kurooks of the king, what He's saying. What are You saying here, Lord? What are You saying to me? What's Your heart? What's Your mind? What's Your will? What's Your purpose? How's this all working into my destiny? How's this all working into this nation's destiny? What are You doing? Have You got something to say to me? And every time He responds, there's more air in the balloon. It begins to take its shape. It begins to fill up a form. And what that'll do is, I almost spit on you there, probably did. What that'll do is that's a faith or that's a substance that you're going to release that's going to be proof or evidence of what's on the way. Or it's not going to happen. That's why He says anything other than faith is sin. Because anything other than faith is you and not Him. Anything other than faith is man and not God. Anything other than faith is a temporal respiration and not an eternal respiration. And you can't change it, and neither can I. So if you get mad and say, God, just leave me alone. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I finally got my bills paid off. I'm finally feeling good. Me and the wife are finally getting along together. Hey, we're finally planning our vacation. I'm telling you, we've accomplished a lot of things. Just leave me alone. You say, people are like that? They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Why? Because they don't understand that they live by the respiration of God. And God has to blow life into them or faith into them or they're not going where He's going. You can't get there any other way. Who wants to sign up and live and die and go to heaven when we're done? Now think about that. I'm glad heaven's there. It's quite attractive. I'm glad it's there, but a miserable Christian has said, I'm saved, now leave me alone, let me live the way I want to live. That's a miserable Christian. You know why? Because they don't have any CPR going on. And they're made to live by the breath of God, not by the breath of the cosmos or the world or whoever. It's a poor substitute, isn't it? Isn't he good? I think we're going to quit there. Now, isn't this so easy? He made it so easy that all I have to do is be an honest, sincere disciple and say, God, I want some more of that. I want some more CPR. I don't care how dumb I've been. I don't care how right I've been. I don't care how wrong I've been. I need some more CPR. Blow in me and show me how to release it, and I'll do it. You give me something to preach or let go, and I'll do it. And when I think more about him than I do me, it works really, really good. But when I think more about me than I do him, it doesn't work very good. Isn't he good? Praise the Lord. We're going to do something very, very simple here before we go home. And it may take the rest of the day, and it may take 4 or 5 minutes. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I hope it doesn't take the rest of the day, but it might.
That's pretty selfish, isn't it?
That's pretty selfish. If it takes the rest of the day, I'll have to trust God or somebody here will be wanting to shoot me. Isn't he good? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.